You are listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
This morning, we are continuing our message series, Hard Conversations. This is an invitation to reflect Jesus while facing the tough issues of the world around us. And unfortunately, we get more reminders of the fact that we live in a pretty chaotic world. Our news cycle of just this weekend reminding us of that, and racial tensions and violence in Virginia and other parts of our country, the disunity and just the chaos around the world. God has not called us to isolate from that. He has not called us to go and be cloistered among just a small group of Christians and, Lord, just come quickly but get us out of this mess. He's called us to go into this mess. Last week, we looked at Jeremiah 29, where the children of Israel are in exile in Babylon, and rather than God coming to them to say, okay, just hold tight, be good children of God, just wait, and I'll get you out there, he actually says, no, I want to bless you and bless Babylon as a result of your being there. I want you to pray, and I want you to work for Babylon to be blessed. So that the children of Israel, while they are in Babylonian captivity, Babylon being the enemy of Israel, God is saying, I want you to hold tight, to be there, and to actually bloom where you are at that present moment. I want you to be a blessing to Babylon. And so for some of us today, we look at the world around us, and we sort of feel like we're in exile. The kingdom of darkness is rampant around us. We see the fruit of it, like the racial violence that we're seeing over the weekend in Virginia and other places across our country, other incidents around the world. We see the evidence of the kingdom of darkness around us. But God has not called us to come and cloister ourselves and to isolate from the world. He has called us to be salt, to be light, and these require proximity. These require us going out into darkness so that the light of God in us can be seen, so that the salt of God's kingdom can bring things that are unsavory, can make them flavorful as a result of the proximity that we have. He's called us to go to engage, not to isolate. And so Jesus calls us as his followers to have discerning and effective dialogue in love. If you're following us in your program, we've got notes on the back if you'd like to follow along with some fill in the blanks. Jesus calls us to have discerning and effective dialogue in love about tough topics. Notice this is not monologue. Notice this is not a speech, a sermon that he's called us to go out and give, but it's to be an interactive exchange, a conversation, dialogue, where we are listening, where we're listening, lots of listening and engagement, especially among those who think differently from us. And God's called us because God loves those. He loves everybody. He loves us. He has invited us into relationship, and he loves people who are very different from us. He loves people who think differently from us, who have different political views, who have different social views. He loves them, and he has called us to go and to show his love and to minister his love to them. So bottom line is, let's just be honest, we like being with people who are like us, right? Who look like us, who think like us. We're comfortable there. But God has not called us to be people who are just comfortable. He's called us to be people who are filled with his Spirit, filled to overflowing with his love, to go out and to be spilled out on this world that so desperately needs to know and to have a real experience of God's love. He's called us to love Jesus and to do his ministry everywhere, everywhere that God takes us. He's called us to love Jesus and to do the ministry of Jesus everywhere. Today, as we continue this series on hard conversations, let's talk about God and truth. God and truth. Because we live in a day and age of moral relativism, where the world says, hey, you have your truth, I have my truth, we just need to, you know, coexist here with your truth and my truth. Your truth is truth to you because it's truth to you, but it's not necessarily truth to me, and yada, 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 yada. And so how do we deal with that? How do we have real conversations in that kind of climate. One of the things we have to realize as followers of Jesus, we don't see truth as just a list of ideas and concepts. For us, truth is found in a person. Truth is found in Jesus, who came and he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we're not called to just know truth in terms of concepts or ideas or different ideologies. We are called to know truth in the person of Jesus Christ. And only through him can we know God. Can we be in relationship with God? Can we experience the Holy Spirit? And so God sent Jesus here to reveal himself. In the same passage in John chapter 14, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I come to give the fullest revelation of who God the Father is. As God the Son, I come to show you who God the Father is. And so this morning, we want to recognize that God is truth and God has all truth, but we don't necessarily have a perfect understanding of God, because we're human, we're frail, we live in a state of brokenness, we are works in process and progress. The Holy Spirit is working in us, healing us, making us more and more like Jesus, but we're not there yet. So in this tension this morning, we want to talk about this idea of knowing God, not a concept, not an idea, not a fact, but personal relationship with God, knowing him more and more, and out of that personal relationship, sharing him, engaging in hard conversations, reflecting Jesus as we face the issues of our world, like racism, like poverty, all those things that seem to divide us. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come. Lord, speak through me this morning. I just want to give myself to you. Lord, let the words from my mouth be from your heart to this people whom you love, who you have purposed, that would do the ministry of Jesus in Augusta, in Evans, in Aiken, in Burke County, everywhere, Lord, that you have us, God. Let us be instruments of your kingdom love, your kingdom power. Lord, we just say yes to you and the things of your kingdom this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So as we go and engage the world, and even as we engage each other, there are going to be hard conversations that we need to have. And we need to do it in love. We need to do it in ways that really do reflect Jesus. And this morning, we're going to be looking, our primary scripture reference is 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. We know it as the love chapter. You've been to a lot of weddings, you hear this at a lot of them. It's a great, great chapter. And we're going to focus more on a verse at the end, but I do want to begin, because it's completely perfect, actually, just for us to keep in mind how Paul begins this chapter to the church at Corinth. He says this, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So we've got to remember that as we face hard conversations, if love is not there, we're wasting our time. We're not reflecting Jesus. We need to have love even as we go and engage in difficult conversations. Now, let's look on at the bottom of this chapter, verse 12 in chapter 13. Paul talks about truth and our ability as people, as followers of Jesus, to discern it and to act on it. 1 Corinthians 13, 12, Paul continues and he says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, and what he's referring to is when the kingdom of God has come in its fullness, when Jesus returns to fully establish the kingdom in its all its fullness, then we will see everything with perfect clarity. Paul says, all that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely just as God now knows me completely. And so this is what we see happening here. God knows the whole truth. That's our first fill in the blank here. God knows the whole entire truth. He is truth. He knows the truth. God is truth. And he knows the truth, and there is so much that God has revealed to humanity about himself. We see it in His Word. We see it in creation. We see it as the Holy Spirit brings revelation to us. All of these things are true. God's Word, He gives us insight into who He is, the Holy Spirit giving us ongoing revelation. But there is much about this vast, this huge, this amazing God that we don't know, much that is mystery. Can you get on board with the fact that our God is so huge and is so vast that my and your finite minds cannot contain all of who He is? That's reality. That's spiritual reality. That is truth. God knows all. He is everything. He is everywhere. He is all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He is all-powerful. And yet, everything that we know of God is what He has chosen to reveal to us about Himself through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we recognize that much of God is a mystery. And a lot of us in the Western mindset aren't real comfortable with that, are we? I need God to fit in my little box, because then I feel like I have some level of control. And we love control, don't we? We love it. We crave it. Because control is a response of fear. That's really what's going on. There are things that we're fearful of, and we try to put on these trappings of control or these images or facades of control in order to give us some sort of sense of, I'm dealing with this, I'm taking care of this fear, when God says, let my perfect love fill you. My perfect love is going to be the only thing that can displace the fear that you're experiencing, that you like to try to deal with through control issues. And believe me, I'm fully aware of that in my own life. And God's just like, I just wanted to fill you with my perfect love. But so often we want to just get God sized up. We want to have everything figured out so there's no room for failure or no room for the unknown, and get over that real quickly. Because otherwise we're going to live a pretty miserable existence and live a lot of frustration and lose out on a lot of what God wants us to experience with Him and to know with Him and to live out with Him. I love it how, again, the Apostle Paul, we're going to hear from him several times this morning in different letters. This time to his letter to the Roman church, he says this in Romans 11. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways. And then Paul references Isaiah and he says this, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give God advice? And then he references Job, and he says, who has given God so much that God needs to pay it back? For everything comes from God and exists by God's power and is intended for God's glory. All glory to God forever. Amen. And that's a good place to rest, guys. As we're looking at the world around us and the chaos around us and feeling overwhelmed by it, it's like God's still in control. God is in control. He is over all, he is victorious over the kingdom of this world. Jesus accomplished that on the cross through His death and His resurrection. And we know how this story ends. And yes, we live in the tension of the already of the kingdom of God given to us in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and the not yet of the fulfillment of the kingdom of God coming when Jesus returns to fully establish His kingdom here on earth. But in the in between, we wrestle with the mystery of God, and it's okay that we don't understand everything that God does, and being at peace with that. As Jesus followers, we should make a clear distinction between God's perfect knowledge of truth and our ability to know truth perfectly. There's a difference there. I have a mind that is still part of the kingdom of this world. God is transforming me. He's making me more and more like Jesus, but He's still got a lot more work to do in me and probably in most of you too. So it's that thing of understanding that this is what Paul is saying here in this verse, in the 12th verse of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. He's saying, now we see things imperfectly. And he gives the illustration of a mirror. And you have to understand that in Paul's times, when he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth, mirrors weren't made with clear glass. they were made with metals that weren't real clear. And so it was almost like this really muddied kind of weird picture, and like a circus house kind of strange. You know, it wasn't a clear reflection. It was like you go and you see your face and it's exactly who you are. That's not the way it was at all. It was bizarre. It was twisted. It was distorted. It was not clear. And so Paul is using the mirror analogy, this mirror idea, in a time when mirrors weren't like the mirrors in our bathroom here, where you can just go in and check your hair and your makeup and you see what it is and it's clear and the light's on and all that. No, it's a very different picture here. And he's saying that the already and the not yet, we are in that tension. The kingdom of God has come, but yet it has not fully come. So we don't see everything perfectly, and we don't see everything clearly. And we need to be okay with that. And that's why we continue to pursue God, to ask the Lord to give us insight and wisdom and revelation, and to ask the Holy Spirit to make the Word of God come alive for us. I've been a Christian for 40-plus years. I've been reading the Bible for 45 years, and there are still things that as I read God's Word, it just comes alive for me. And that's the Holy Spirit knowing what I need to see and hear and experience that moment, that day, making His Word come alive. It's the Spirit-breathed Word of God. In our human frailty, though, we have limitations on our ability to know truth perfectly. We need to get comfortable with that. But that's not an excuse to be lazy about the things of God and knowing Him. God reveals truth, and we must interpret it. We must interpret it and apply it to our own lives. And everything, again, we know of God is because God has graciously chosen to make Himself known to us, that we know of God, revealed in His Word, revealed in creation, revealed by the Holy Spirit. So we live in that reality. The coming of Jesus, the Holy Spirit given to us in our humanity, though we still are imperfect recipients of God's revelation. And one of the things we have to do is be self-aware about this. We bring our own weaknesses, we bring our own biases, we bring our own cultural blind spots to our understanding of Scripture. But the Holy Spirit will help us with this. Let's move on to that next fill in the blank there. Nathan, if we can do that, please, that'd be awesome. Super. We bring our own weaknesses, our own biases, our own cultural blind spots to our understanding of Scripture. But the Holy Spirit will help us in this. We're not in this on our own. It's like this. You know, we can look throughout church history. Dan's a great student of church history. And he could come up and tell us, probably talk to us on hours, on how the church has got it wrong through the years. Wars, huge, massive wars, crusades happening in the name of God, taking Scripture and twisting it to make it back up some sort of ill-gotten political cause, some selfish agenda. We see how Scripture has been used to oppress women in society. We see how Scripture has been used to justify racism in our country among churches, Christian churches in the United States. And so we need to understand that we bring weaknesses, we bring biases, and those cultural blind spots that get in the way of us being able to fully understand and fully apply truth. I've shared this story before, but I feel like I'm supposed to share it again today. You know, I grew up in a small town about 45 minutes from here. A lot of wonderful people there. My parents were in a church, a holiness church, where basically anything fun to do was a sin. I mean, it was. Friday night football games, sin. Of course, it probably didn't help that we were the Lincoln County Red Devils. That didn't help either. Anyway. But my parents were raised in that church, and I grew up probably my first 10 or 12 years in that church. And I remember in the 70s, the 1970s, okay, so this was not like centuries ago. In the 70s, this church would often have a choir come and do a night of music. It was a Christian college in North Georgia, and they would come and do a concert. And this particular year, the church there in Lincolnton uninvited them because they learned that they had two or three African-American members. And it's like, and my parents and a number of other families were deeply disturbed by this and actually ended up leaving the church to plant another church. And I'm not into, you know, doing that kind of thing, but it was for a really good reason. There was no interest in changing. And they tried to use scripture to justify that kind of rationale, that kind of racism. And, you know, I'm sure that those folks have repented. And I don't know. But it's one of those things that this is not so far removed, and we still see the fruit of this in our culture. And this weekend in Virginia, and the hatred, and just all those kinds of things that sometimes we don't see in ourselves, but the Holy Spirit will show us if He will allow Him to. He'll show us. He'll make us aware of those blind spots, how we have tendencies to view Scripture where it makes us look really good and other people who are different than us look really bad. That's just sort of how we're wired in our brokenness, in our sinfulness. But the Holy Spirit will help us. God's Word was Spirit-breathed, and the same Holy Spirit who empowered Jesus is available to us to let the Word of God come alive to us. And if you're here and you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time and reading God's Word has become stale to you, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to just blow afresh in your heart, in your mind, in your eyes, in your whole spirit to just let God's Word come alive to you. Let passion for God and for His Word and for the things of His kingdom just be renewed in us as individuals, as families, as a church. I know that God wants to do this. And He wants us to be people who are not just knowing God's Word, but doing God's Word. And this is part of it's about knowing God. It's about knowing Him and experiencing Him, knowing Him and in God's Word, in studying His Word, in prayer, in worship. And this idea of knowing God, there is a Western mindset regarding knowing God that's all information and fact-based. Like, what verses do you know about God? That's good to know Scripture about God. But God wants us to know Him. The whole Hebraic idea of knowledge is experience. Mary Margaret and I enjoy cooking. And we actually also, from time to time, enjoy reading cookbooks, just like as we're picking out new cookbooks. You know how things will taste. And it's like, oh, this is an interesting combination of flavors. And so, one of my favorite old cookbooks is a Paul Prudhomme Cajun cookbook. I love Cajun food. And I love the spice mixtures and everything. But reading a recipe for shrimp etouffee, you know, you read the cayenne pepper, the white pepper, the chili, all of these different things, the shrimp stock, and you know, all of these different things. That's interesting, but it ain't nothing like sitting there with a piping hot bowl of shrimp etouffee that you get to eat and enjoy. And for too many of us, this idea of knowing God is this thing of knowing Scripture or theology without tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And so it's about us, a priority and a value in the Vineyard is being people who experience God based on God's Word. It's not a departure from God's Word. It is a fulfillment. It's living and experiencing God. He's called us to relationship, an experiential relationship based on truth. But it's not just a knowing Scripture. It's knowing God, knowing facts about God, but knowing Him and experiencing Him in intimate ways through our worship, through our prayer, through our reading of Scripture. And this is some of what Paul is talking about. Again, another letter, this one to the church at Philippi. In Philippians 2, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Some other translations say, work out your salvation. And he's not saying work for your salvation, but he's saying work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and with fear. Oh, wow, God. There's more of you that I want to know. There's more of you I want to experience. And as we do this, God calls us to approach truth with humility. With humility. Nobody likes a know-it-all. You want to shut down someone who thinks differently than you do? Go in and just overwhelm them with a huge defense or a huge argument. Go in a condescending way and share, Jesus, really? What a waste of time. But with humility, we go and we share the life of God in us. We share the truth of God revealed in Scripture, but we do it with humility, with love, with compassion. We don't go in as a know-it-all with an agenda to force-feed something down someone's throat. It's Jesus never did that, and he is our ultimate example in everything, and we never see Jesus doing that. Jesus humbled himself. The Son of God humbled himself. He took on flesh. He came, and he emptied himself of his divinity, and he took on flesh and humanity. And he became as one of us, and he showed us how to live perfectly. He showed us how to do that. And humility doesn't mean that we refuse to hold on to the importance of pursuing truth because we think we might get it wrong sometimes, even though we live in this state where we hear in part and we see in part, no. And it's not about saying, my truth has no substance, so I'll give over to your truth. No, that's not what it's about. But it's just, again, I said this last week and I'll say it again today, God doesn't need us to defend him. He doesn't need us to defend him. He can take care of himself. He's called us to share the good news. He's called us to be witnesses, not debaters. Witnesses share about what they've experienced. Just like the blind man who was born blind, who Jesus healed. And they're trying to, the legal scribes and the Pharisees are trying to entrap Jesus, and they're trying to bring this guy he's just healed of his blindness into this case. And the guy's like, I don't know a lot about Jesus. All I know was I was blind, and now I see. That's the evidence. That's the living reality of Jesus in my life. So what's your living reality of Jesus in your life? I was addicted. I was sick. I was depressed. I was lost. But now Jesus found me. He healed me. He set me free. And we share our God stories, how God has shown up in our lives, how he's made himself real, and we can back it up with Scripture. It's biblical. It's not something that's, that's beyond Scripture, but it's something that's fully backed up with Scripture, but we do this with humility, with kindness, and love. We let the fruit of the Holy Spirit fill our thoughts, our attitude, our posture, and our words. Proverbs puts it this way, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Simple wisdom. Now if we could only apply it as the church, as followers of Jesus, as a country. Let's be people who endeavor to do that. Know God's truth and how God's truth has changed your life. We've tasted, we've seen that the Lord is good. Another big part of this, and this is a little departure from originally where I had planned to go this morning, but I feel like it's something I need to say. Part of humility is also about being honest about our own doubts and questions concerning truth. I don't have everything figured out. And you probably are well aware of that, but I don't. And I've learned that my pretending to or feeling like I have to show that off to everybody just really becomes a stumbling block. It really becomes problematic. Part of having real faith, and I do have real faith, but part of having real faith is a willingness to bring our own real questions and our own real doubts to God. Bring them to him. And being willing to also be real about these doubts and questions with others, including those who may not be followers of Jesus, who do think differently than us. I think one of the worst things Christians can do is to come in contact with people who are dealing with really big stuff, big issues, and give these little bumper sticker pat answers. That's, to me, that's flippant. If I were on the receiving end of that, I'd want to shut down so quickly. Like, you don't get it, do you? You have no idea of the hurt and the pain and what I'm going through. If you did, you would not be so dismissive to give me some little pat answer like that and be, you know, go your merry way. No. We got to understand that, you know, I've been a follower of Jesus for over 40 years. I don't have everything figured out. I still have lots of questions. I have lots of things of which I am certain. I know that God is good. I know that He loves me. I know that I am God's son because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. He has forgiven me my sins, and I know that I stand before God righteous because of Jesus, because of the righteousness of Christ, not any work that I would do. But there are lots of things that I experience as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, that I'm like, okay, God, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What's up with that? Why is this person being healed and this other person's not? And why is there seem to be justice in this situation where there is so much injustice in this? And I don't have the answer. I have questions. And we need to understand that God doesn't condemn us for our questions. The whole book of Job is about a lot of questions. Have you read the Psalms? In worship, there are questions being presented over and over and over. And God doesn't reject them. He doesn't throw them away. He welcomes us to come to Him with our questions. You know, the poster child in the New Testament for doubting, Thomas. Poor Thomas. But Thomas is a great guy. I mean, look at his history. I mean, he's the one who, you know, Jesus is warning the disciples about the fact that troubles are going to come. And there could be some violence. And Thomas is like, oh, Jesus, we're going to go with you. You know, we'll be killed with you. We're with you in this. He's committed to Jesus. And then after Jesus' crucifixion and His resurrection, before Jesus is ascended, Jesus comes and He meets in His glorified body with His disciples, except Thomas isn't there. We don't know where Thomas is, but he wasn't there. And so, you know, the disciples are like, Jesus was here. And Thomas has these questions. He has these questions that, you know, that maybe doubts. But Jesus doesn't condemn him for his questions. Thomas's doubt doesn't show a lack of faith, but just the presence of questions. I don't have everything figured out. If you do, let me know. I don't. And I'm okay with that. And that doesn't diminish my faith in God. That doesn't diminish my witness of His presence in my life. But I don't pretend to have everything figured out. It just makes me want to know God more. It makes me want to pursue Him more and more of His kingdom in my life. Faith is believing God is who He says, even when we can't figure out how He's going to work things out. That's faith. And sometimes with people who are not Christians and are skeptical of Christianity, this can be a refreshingly real thing. I was blind, but now I see. I was addicted, but now God has set me free. I was addicted, but God is helping me day by day by day by day experience His life and His freedom. I'm not there yet, but He's helping me. He shows up every day. He doesn't leave me. His presence, His strength is with me. And being able to share those real kinds of stories that are based on the truth of God, a relationship with Him, this is what it's all about. And ultimately for us, it's about knowing God more. There is more of God that He wants to reveal to each one of us. There's more of God and His kingdom that He wants Vineyard Church of Augusta to experience. And He's looking for people who hunger and thirst for Him, who seek first His kingdom, His rule and reign, and then know that everything else will be added. God has called us to have a relationship with Him, who is truth, who has revealed Himself to us in Jesus, the truth, the way, the life. No one can come to the Father except through Him. That is the reality that we live in. That is the word that we preach, but we do so with kindness, with compassion, and humility, just as Jesus did when He was here on earth. And it doesn't get any better than Him.